What's going on, guys? Welcome into today's show. I've got a great guest in Mr. Jack McCall. Jack is the founder of Credit Stacking, which has been featured on MarketWatch, Disrupt, Yahoo Finance, and many other publications for his particular knowledge and in-depth understanding of credit stacking. This is a strategy that Jack really leveraged and designed for entrepreneurs and business owners who are looking to tap into and create and leverage business credit. If you're an entrepreneur, you're an investor, obviously understanding how personal credit is tied to your ability to get access to quality loans, liquidity, lines of credit. The same thing is just as important, if not more important, in the business world. And so many people don't understand how to build business credit beyond just their personal credit. And Jack is a self-made millionaire who went from having $0 in business credit to being approved for $500,000 in just a year. And he really talks about all the different facets of how you, as an investor, a business owner, can go out and follow this exact same blueprint. And we had some great conversations around, obviously, the strategies and the execution of this, understanding the ins and outs of personal credit versus business credit and some of the misconceptions and how you can make sure that you're really building both up. But most importantly, how you're able to leverage business credit to not impact your personal credit and to create so much more liquidity and opportunities for funding your business, funding investment opportunities, funding growth. And he breaks it all down in this episode. So I know you guys are really going to enjoy today's episode. We got tactical. He shared a lot of his insights. And of course, a lot of other different strategies that you can use to help scale your business and your investing going forward. So without further ado, let's dig into today's episode with Mr. Jack McCall of Credit Stacking, right after this quick message from today's show sponsors.
Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor.
Are you struggling to close deals? Cold outreach can be a slow and brutal process. And in many scenarios, it's just wasting the time of both the buyer and the seller, especially when business owners who are trying to find qualified buyers are using inaccurate and outdated data. But it doesn't have to be this way. With LinkedIn Sales Navigator, your organization can overcome these challenges by leveraging this amazing technology and platform that translates comprehensive, high-quality buyer data into real-time insights and sales. These deeper insights empower sales reps and teams to adopt the habits of top performers, which leads to much better outcomes like building a bigger pipeline with real customers, leading to higher win rates and conversions, and of course, larger deals and paydays all around. We call this deep sales, and LinkedIn has built the first deep sales platform with the next generation of LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Right now, our Millionaire Mindcast family has an amazing opportunity to try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/mindcast. That's linkedin.com/mindcast for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/mindcast and get started. Welcome into the show, Jack McCall. How are we doing, brother?
What's up, Matthew? It's so good to be here. Appreciate you having me on the show today.
Absolutely, man. I have been inspired by your journey and, you know, what you have accomplished in the business world. And I know a lot of people are going to get value out of this with so many people who are investors, business owners. You know, credit is such a critical part of scaling and having more options and resources and being that you are the man and the expert in that space. I know we're going to get, you know, tactical and mechanical on some of those things, but maybe you could take us a little bit back for those that don't know who you are on, you know, your entrepreneurial journey and how the heck you found yourself kind of niching down in the credit space.
Yeah, for sure. And once again, thank you, Matthew. Really appreciate it. And I do want to make sure we do get very tactical. I love when I come on podcasts, I want people to walk away with tangible strategies so they can build and optimize this very strong personal credit profile, so they don't only get better rates on mortgages, auto loans, other types of loans, but they can position themselves in a better position to get access to business credit, which to get business credit, having strong personal credit is the most important thing. Mm. And building strong personal credit is not something they teach in school. They don't teach at business school. I know because I studied business at University of Washington. They didn't talk about building credit in at all that education at all. It's crazy. So I think it's very important to build credit, and it just opens up the world like crazy, specifically for early to mid stage entrepreneurs when it's valuable to them to get a few hundred thousand dollars of business funding to then start or scale their business.
Yep.
Crazy. And so I was, the first time I checked my credit report, I was 26. I'm 30 years old right now. So I checked it for the first time when I was 26 years old, because it just wasn't taught. And then I started to learn about the power of credit, the fact that you can get access to business credit cards, which business credit cards do not report to your personal credit profile. You're still personally guaranteeing them. So if you default, they'll then show up on your personal report. But why that's valuable is you can max out a business credit card, use that money for your business or an investment or a real estate deal, and it won't negatively affect your personal credit score. So I learned that. And then I cracked the code on helping people get approved for $50,000 to $100,000 limits on these cards. And then I realized that there's so many people in this world, or specifically in the US, that don't know how to leverage this in their business. Mm-hmm. So I put together a coaching program. Now I'm teaching over 3,000 entrepreneurs on how to build strong credit and how to get access to several hundred thousand dollars of 0% interest business credit and 0% interest on the introductory rate on these cards. So a lot of the cards are 0% for 12 months and some are 0% for up to 18 months.
I love that. Now, so many people know that credit is important, right? You have this weird score and you've got these reporting agencies. But what are some of the key and common misconceptions around personal or business credit that, to set the table to kind of pour a strong foundation, are some of the key things that people should think about or be aware of, and the importance of personal or business credit?
Yeah, I mean, having strong personal credit is valuable in so many different aspects of your life. Like just buying a house, getting a mortgage, it's going to save you tens of thousands of dollars just by having an 800 score versus having a 650. And I think on building credit, it's something you want to be doing your entire life. To get an 850 credit score, you need to have over 20 open accounts on your profile. And so if you're someone with only two credit cards, you're just not going to get to that point. And so I do think it's a skill that is so crucial for entrepreneurs to learn, because it not only helps you get a good score so you can get good loans, but it opens up funding options for your business. And maybe you don't need the business funding now, but maybe in 3, 6, 12 months, you might need it. And so you want to put yourself in a good position where it becomes easier to get access to funding. A lot of people put it off. A lot of people don't put in the time and energy to learn how to build strong credit. And that's the skill that I'm best at teaching people, is the skill of building strong credit and the skill of getting access to business funding.
Now, would somebody start by focusing more on their personal to begin with? Or could somebody say, hey, you know what? I'm not too concerned about my personal credit. It's at 700. I really want to focus on, you know, building up my business credit and some lines there. What would be your answer to somebody that, you know, is kind of more focused on the business side?
Yeah. So super good question, Matthew. Appreciate it. So basically, when you apply for a business credit account, the bank is going to be pulling your personal credit report and your business credit report. The personal report is by far the most important. You can have zero business credit score, like nothing on the business credit reports, but a strong personal profile, and you can still get access to several hundreds of thousands of dollars. Having the good personal and a good business credit profile will definitely help, but the business credit profile is not necessary. So some of the business credit bureaus is Dun & Bradstreet, Experian Small Business, and Equifax Small Business. But if you have no activity there, no accounts reporting, that's not a big deal. A big deal is having that strong personal credit. So I would focus on building the personal first, and really how we do that. And to answer your previous question, one of the big mistakes people make is they apply for too many personal accounts too quickly. As if a bank sees more than two accounts, personal accounts open in the last 6 months, it's going to look risky to the lenders. Mm. So for some people, they go out and apply for four personal loans or personal credit cards at the same time. Once those new four accounts report, and then you go for a business card, you're going to for sure get denied because they see four brand new accounts. And so you want to build slowly over time. And you also want to be very strategic about the personal credit accounts you're getting approved for, because you don't want to apply for too many, and you want to be applying for primary credit cards, like good credit cards that you're the owner of at the top tier banks that give high limits. So if someone goes out and applies for a Cabela's card or a Victoria's Secret card, that's a very low tier credit card that looks like crap on your credit profile. So instead, you want to focus on the tier one banks like Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and Citi, because those accounts look better on your profile. I like to first recommend people to get personal credit cards at Chase because it's a tier one bank and Chase gives out good limits. And there's really good benefits that come with the cards.
Yeah.
And a relationship with, in my opinion, the best bank who gives out the highest business credit limits. So it's important to build not only a banking relationship at some of these top banks like Chase, but also a credit relationship with these top banks. And I really advocate to make sure you're spending your time building those banking and credit relationships with the banks that have the best 0% interest business credit products. Like Citi, for example, Citi doesn't have a 0% interest business credit card. So I don't believe it's a good idea to bank at Citi. Mm. Instead, I would bank at Bank of America or Chase, or actually both, because building a relationship at those two banks is going to give you a really good position when you apply for the business credit cards, because now they trust you and you'll get a good limit on these 0% cards.
Now, talk a little bit about somebody that is going, okay, I got good credit, I'm banking here. How do I even know if my business has credit, or what is applying for a business credit card that is specific to my business look like, right? Because I think sometimes there's some misconceptions of like, oh, I got a credit card from Amex that says business, but it's reporting back to my personal name, but it's, you know, something I'm using for business. How do you get all of those dominoes lined up, and what are kind of the first steps in that process to initiate understanding where is your business at today, if any credit at all, and what are the steps that you should be taking going forward to start building up some of that credit?
Yeah. So most business credit cards don't report to personal credit, as I mentioned. There's a few that do, and these are ones you want to stay away from. So the Capital One 0% interest Spark card, TD Bank, and Discover, their business cards report to personal credit. So those are business credit cards I would just stay away from because they report to personal credit. So it defeats the purpose. And so in terms of, you know, how to build the business credit profiles like Dun & Bradstreet, Experience Small Business, you can set up vendor accounts with some specific vendors that report the transactions on these credit bureaus, which does help. If you can get three vendor accounts that report to Dun & Bradstreet, it's going to give you an 80 out of 100 Paydex score, which will be beneficial if the business if the bank pulls the business credit bureau on the business credit application. Sometimes the bank will pull Dun & Bradstreet. Sometimes they'll pull Experience Small Business, or sometimes they won't even pull a business credit bureau. And so I do think down the line, it helps to build those, but it's certainly not super important. Again, the personal credit is by far the most important. And so to kind of pick up on my previous thought about being strategic on the personal credit cards you're applying for, you want to build up your collective personal limits. And so I always recommend someone have at least $15,000 collectively on your personal credit cards. You add up all the limits, at least $15,000.
Yep.
Not from authorized users, but from primary accounts. So if you're someone listening to this right now, you have $40,000 collectively on your primary limits, you're in a really good position. But if you're someone that only has maybe $5,000 to $10,000 of collective limits, you would want to go apply for another personal credit card. And if you're in this position, I recommend a few different high limit personal credit cards. These are cards at good banks that I see to give high limits. And so this would be the Chase Freedom Unlimited, the Chase Sapphire Preferred, the Built credit card, which actually you can pay rent on this credit card with no fees. I
haven't heard of that one.
And it's issued by Wells Fargo. So it gives a good limit. You can pay rent on it and get points, which is great. And it's issued by Wells Fargo. So it's a tier one account. An Amex personal credit card is also good. And the Apple card is also good as well. Those last two, Amex and Goldman Sachs, are lower tier banks, but they do give high limits. And I do believe, as we previously mentioned, building relationships at banks that have the 0% cards is a really good idea. So to have an Amex personal credit card builds that relationship. So when you get the Amex business card, they trust you. Goldman Sachs has a great 0% interest business card. So that's why I sometimes recommend that Apple card, because it builds that relationship there. So the main point there is building relationships with the right banks and building up your collective personal credit limits.
Now, you went from zero to, you know, zero business credit to 500,000 in approvals. And you did that, I think, in just under a year or over a year?
Barely over a year.
Now, what did that process look like for you? Maybe you can walk us through that so somebody can actually visualize some of these milestones in unlocking $500,000 of accessible capital. That's a big deal for a business that's trying to grow or scale or reinvest in certain, you know, things with their team or, you know, infrastructure. So how did you go about initiating that journey and what did that look like over the course of 12 months?
Yeah, I mean, it completely changed my life. And basically, once I got access to that type of money, it allowed me to then start several e-commerce brands at the same time that were making great money. And, you know, in a business like that, in most businesses, you need a lot of money to scale.
Right.
To scale at a proper speed. Yeah. I had previous business ventures where I was super strapped for capital. I was selling hoverboards. I was super strapped for capital and I lost out on so much money because selling hoverboards was a fad. And I didn't have access to money. And the opportunity window was like 1 year.
Yeah.
And so I only could turn so many rounds of inventory and lost out on a lot of opportunity costs because I didn't have the funding. Next business, I brought in an equity partner because I knew I needed the funding and I didn't have it. And ultimately we gave someone majority stake of the company. And it was ultimately a very bad deal for us. But that was the bet we made. Like, we need money. Let's bring on a partner. It was the wrong partner.
Mm.
But then I found out about the power of business credit and how to get access to it. And what really changed the game for me and ultimately changed the game for my strategies and the people that I'm teaching the strategies to is at early stage in my journey in credit, I got in touch with business relationship managers. These are high-level bankers that are the middleman between the consumer like us and the underwriters who make the credit decisions. So these relationship managers know what the underwriters are looking for. And so I got these relationship managers either in an in-person meeting or on the phone, and I was able to learn so much of the underwriting criteria that the underwriters look for and basically reverse engineered the entire process. Okay, the underwriters are looking for this many accounts. They want to see utilization at this level. They want to see the average age of the profile at this age. These type of banks want certain bank accounts opened. And so I really understood the underwriting process at each of the several top banks. And then once I started teaching it, well, one, I was doing it on myself and I started teaching people for free. And once I started teaching people, I had more data to work with. Like mm-hmm. I would recommend a certain thing and we'd get really good results. Okay, cool. That strategy worked. And I'd recommend something else. And maybe it was like mediocre. Okay, maybe that wasn't ideal. And so the combination of the information from these relationship managers and coaching people, and ultimately now I'm coaching 3,000 people, to have that much data and have the information from the relationship managers was key to like really, really getting good at these strategies.
Yeah. And as you said, right, I mean, solving a problem for yourself is one thing when you got a bunch of other people with the same problem. I'm guessing that's what inspired you to start credit stacking.
Big time. I mean, I didn't have this resource and I didn't get burned on three businesses, but I had a massive opportunity cost on three businesses by not having funding. And literally I was an entrepreneur for 7 years, not knowing about business credit. I went to business school. I'm 7 years deep into entrepreneurship. And I just now at that point learned about business credit. It blew my mind that I didn't know about this when I started business. Like the number one thing you should know about if you're starting a business. And so it just really frustrated me and just blew my mind. And I knew that I had to crack the code and be able to teach other people because I just wish I had access to that type of funding when I started.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, what is credit stacking and how does it work?
So credit stacking is just the strategy of acquiring as much credit as you possibly can through business credit cards. Specifically what I teach and I'm best at is helping people get these large limits on the 0% interest business credit cards. And so really, when you look at the state your business is registered in, that pretty much tells you what lending options you have available to you, because banks have certain footprints and certain states will fall in certain footprints. Florida, for example, is a really good state for lending because there's just more banks there that have good 0% interest cards and also business lines of credit, which is a different, really good credit product as well. If you look at a state like Idaho, Montana, they're a little bit more limited on the banking options. But one really good strategy to get around that is if you file a foreign filing into a state like Florida, which basically just registers your Montana business, for example, into Florida. You're now registering with Florida, basically saying you're going to do business in Florida. Now you get access to the banks that are in the Florida footprint, which is a really good strategy on how to get access to other banks.
I love that. Now, as you were working on that $500,000 line of credit, your approvals yourself, what was the timing around all of that? And was it all at once? Was it, you know, in kind of a sequential order? Like, how did those approvals look like for you over that 12 months?
It's a great question, Matthew. So with personal credit, as we mentioned, you need to be very slow and strategic. You don't want to shotgun approach personal credit cards. Very slow and strategic. When it comes to business credit cards, you can apply for many in the same day. The one thing you want to be aware of is the amount of hard inquiries you have on your profile. Because when you apply for a business credit card, most banks are going to pull your credit, which means gives you a hard inquiry. Mm-hmm. There's three different credit bureaus, and the bank will either pull one bureau or two, sometimes three. And so really, once you get to three or more inquiries in the last 6 months on any particular bureau, that's when you want to slow down on that specific bureau. And so part of the strategy is understanding what banks pull from what bureau based on the state. Like Chase, for example, in California, could pull from Experian. In Florida, they pull from Experian and TransUnion. And US Bank in Washington pulls from TransUnion, but in Florida, pulls from Experian. And so it's good to be aware of where the banks will pull, and that will help you essentially play Tetris with the hard inquiries on your credit bureaus. And so if once Experian gets to three hard inquiries in the last 6 months, you want to take a chill on banks that will pull from Experian and then find banks that will pull from Equifax or TransUnion.
Makes sense. So you're really kind of playing the musical chairs, right, of those credit pulls and in that sequential order. When attention's over here, you're moving over here to keep that ball rolling in the right direction and essentially, right, making sure that it's not working against you and you're still playing the game at a high level.
Exactly. And so another thing there is there are strategies on how to dispute hard inquiries and get them removed from your credit profile. So an advanced strategy would consist of going for maybe six applications all in the same day or the same week. It doesn't all have to be in the same day. Some people think like if you just jam them all in a day, there's a benefit. There's really not. But you know, if you do it all in the same week and you do six, for example, it adds your inquiries. An advanced strategy would be to go dispute those hard inquiries and try to point out inaccuracies in the hard inquiries with the credit bureaus. Then they'll get them deleted, and then that wipes your slate clean. Then you can continue with more applications.
Makes sense. Now, what are some of the downsides or ways this can work against you, if any?
So, I mean, the only way it would work against you is if you invest and spend the money into a business or a business model or an investment where you don't realize enough profit to pay off the card. So it's 0% for 12 to 18 months. And then after that introductory period, it goes up to the normal credit card interest, which is 20 to, you know, 30 on the bad end. So the risk is you invest into something and you can't pay off the card by the time that 0% interest ends. Then you could be stuck paying interest. However, there are strategies where you can then get new business credit cards and balance transfer the debt from the first card over to a new 0% card to get another 12 months of 0%. Mm. But that's only if you keep your personal credit strong. What you don't want to do is max out, like say you get some business credit cards What you don't want to do is max out the business credit cards and max out your personal credit cards, because maybe you can't pay it all back. And now because your personal score is super low because you maxed out your personal cards, now you don't have any options. So people, I recommend to build strong personal credit and maintain strong personal credit, and then get the business cards for the business spending, things like that. And if you run out of 0% interest, you can always get another 0% card and balance transfer the debt to that new card.
There's a little advanced hack right there. What about where to apply for these cards? Are people going in and actually talking with their banker and, hey, I want to get a business credit line, you know, or a credit card, or are they going to a specific website? What's the best way for people to find and apply for these types of business credit cards?
Super good question. So it depends from bank to bank. Sometimes it's very beneficial to apply through a business relationship manager, specifically at Chase. Chase, if you go in just to an online application or just in a branch with a normal banker, like, best results, you'll probably see 20 to 30,000. If you apply through a business relationship manager with the same credit profile, same business information, same information on the application, you'll probably get 50 to 75,000. But you do want to understand, like, what information to put on the application, what your projected revenue should look like. You got to make sure your NAICS code is good. And it basically, just a little side topic there, that's the code that classifies your business risk. It's like, it shows you your nature of business. And so a couple strategies to use this in your favor is ask yourself what your business does. Like, what are all the things the business does? And if any of it is marketing or consulting, you want to lean into that NAICS code. For example, if you have a brick and mortar gym, but part of your business is fitness coaching. Okay, cool. Lean into consulting, because that's a lower risk code. If you're in real estate doing wholesale real estate, you know, that's a marketing company if you think about it. Marketing, you're getting leads, you're getting buyers. So lean into the marketing NAICS code. So that's one thing to think about before going into the applications. But to further answer your question, Chase, you want a business relationship manager at Bank of America, online applications is sufficient. Goldman Sachs, online application is fine. Truist, you can do it over the phone super effectively. American Express, online applications or through affiliate links. But really, it depends on the bank. But the most important bank to have a relationship manager at is going to be Chase.
Okay. Now, how are you keeping all of this organized, right? I mean, to play the game at a high level, you need some volume. So I would imagine, right, you got to keep things organized and you got to, you know, keep a spotlight on all of the parts of maintaining your, you know, credit cards in an organized fashion. What does that look like for you?
It's a super good question. You're great at these questions, Matthew. To stay organized, I do think it's very important. It's a combination of a Google spreadsheet and QuickBooks and just having really good accounting on a monthly basis. I think it's very important for entrepreneurs to do monthly accounting and to study what their profit and loss statement looks like every single month. Not only the profit and loss, but also the balance sheet. That's where you're going to see the debt on these cards. So I do think you want to be looking at it at a monthly basis. And also understanding if you've invested 50 grand into this, you know, what is your cash flow looking like? And how are you going to make sure you have a plan to then pay off the card before there's any interest? So one thing you want to do as well is making sure you're turning on the auto pay for at least the minimum, just so like you never get late payments. Yep. Always turn the auto pay on at least for the minimum for sure. So a combination of turning auto pay on, a Google spreadsheet that just kind of outlines some of the basic information about the card, and then making sure you're looking at your financials on a monthly basis, just to understand how much debt you have, how much cash flow you have coming in, what does the profitability look like? Are you paying off the cards as you should be? Things like that. And then just side note there, something I've been doing that's been very helpful for my personal finances outside of my business bookkeeping, I've been using an app called Monarch Money. And so Monarch Money, it's almost like similar to Mint. Mint was like a personal finance app that no longer a thing. It just condenses all of your personal credit card transactions and your personal bank accounts into one essentially like ledger. So you can see all of your transactions and just makes it very easy to see everything in one place. Yeah. You can also connect your business accounts, business credit cards if you like. But it's cool because once you get like five, six, 20 or more credit cards, it's really helpful to see it in one place.
Yeah.
So you can do that in QuickBooks for your business and or an app like Monarch Money.
That's great. Yeah, keeping things simple for people, right, is always the way to keep execution and consistency rolling in the right direction. What about your community? I know you've got some great success stories doing this. I always love hearing about some of the awesome case studies and success stories of people that, you know, follow a plan, they execute on it, and they get great results. What have been some of your favorites that have come out of your community?
Yeah, I have three off the top of my head right now. One individual, forgot his name, but he was a chiropractor and he was trying to open a chiropractic practice. And he went to the bank to get a normal traditional business loan because it sounded like the right thing to do. And they're like, where's the proof of income? Where's the business plan? Where's all these different things? And he's like, okay, I don't really have any of that. And so he ended up joining credit stacking and I gave him a specific plan on exactly what to do. Build your strong credit. We're going to plug you with these relationship managers. This is how exactly you apply in the sequential order. And we got him approved for $90,000 on his first round of funding, we call it. And then he used that $90,000 at 0% to then open up his chiropractic practice. So that was next level for him because he was denied at the bank through the traditional way. Yep. But through the more creative way that I taught him, he was, you know, he saw a lot of good success there.
That's beautiful.
Second, I had this woman named Amber on my coaching call 2 weeks ago. And she said in front of like 70 people on the call, she's like, Jack, you helped me get $300,000 that I've been able to use in my real estate business. And she was kind of getting emotional. She's like, you've completely changed my life and changed my family's future based on this funding and based on what I've been able to do with it in my business. So that was super touching. And then just another quick one, a guy named Gennady from Ukraine. He came here, I think like 10 years ago. Built strong personal credit. He used, I think, about $200,000 I got him into his e-commerce stores. And then he used the profits from his e-commerce stores to then invest into real estate. And it just really took him to the next level. And like when we look at this type of money, like spending $200,000 of business funding in the wrong business or in a bad investment,
yeah,
or just spending it on not business related things can absolutely ruin you. And it's so much easier to spend money than it is to make money. And so it's just so important for people to, you know, spend cautiously and use it as a tool and just making sure they're, you know, thinking everything through and spending it wisely. But it can create wild success, or it could also, you know, have a big downturn if it's not managed and allocated correctly.
Yeah. I mean, I look at, you know, you see all of the, I'm a data guy and I love tracking all the reports that come out, you know, on the economy and from the Fed. And you hear, you know, credit cards at an all-time high, right? What are your thoughts around that? Are we in a credit bubble? Is there things to be concerned about? How are you navigating that? How are you kind of, you know, guiding your community to navigate that? Is there anything we should be paying attention to, or is that just another clickbait headline news?
I mean, I think it's true. A lot of consumers do have a lot of credit card debt, and I think it's the wrong kind of debt where they're spending money on things not business related, on things that are not going to make them a return.
Yep.
And what's tough, and they start paying interest on it, which is bad. And specifically what I teach, and as I previously mentioned, if you keep strong personal credit, there's always more business funding options for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you max out the personal cards, your score tanks and options are limited. And what's tough with credit card interest when it hits is it's a variable rate. So as the Fed increases their interest rates, that just increases everyone's credit card interest rates,
yep,
unless it's at 0% period. So if you're keeping balances and the Fed's increasing their rates, I mean, credit card rates are the highest they've ever been just based, yeah, on Fed increasing the rates. And so it's just so important to maintain strong credit to keep your options open and making sure you're spending your business funding into things with a clear line to pay the card off. Like,
yeah,
a good model in real estate that I love with credit, business credit, is flipping houses. Because a lot of people can flip houses in 3 to 6 months.
Yep. Cool.
Do that 2 or 3 or maybe 4 times in a 12-month period. And there's a very clear line of investing the money, flipping the house, paying off the card. Investing the money, flipping the house, paying off the card.
Yeah.
And so where this doesn't work is, for example, like buying a real estate rental and it's like a long-term rental. you're not going to make enough money to pay off the card.
Yeah.
Unless you invest into it, push the value up, refinance, then there's a line to pay off the card.
Yeah,
burn. You just got to look at the business model and making sure that there's a clear plan to pay off the card so you don't get stuck paying interest.
That's really important. I love that you highlighted that. Now, talking about, I've heard you say it a couple of times, right? Maintaining credit, you know, kind of keeping an eye on the key parts of that maintenance is important, right? What does that routine or that maintenance rhythm look like in a best case scenario for people that are looking to maintain and grow their credit?
Yeah. So I think it's super important to monitor your credit. And you can do this through a free option or a paid option. The paid option is around $30 a month. Like if you do a paid account with Experian.com or MyScoreIQ.com, those are my two favorite. It's $25 to $30 a month. And it shows you your three bureau, all three bureaus, a report on a monthly basis. And so I do that and I look at my credit and just making sure that my score is optimized. Right now it's an 840, which is actually the highest it's ever been.
Nice.
So love to see that 840. And if you want to do it for free, that's also cool. You can make a free account on Experian. It shows you the one Experian bureau, and then Credit Karma shows you your Equifax and TransUnion report for free. And so a couple of things you just want to make sure is that your balances are paid down. And one trick there is, even if you pay your balance down on the payment due date, it's still going to report that payment to the credit bureaus for the next 30 days. Because the on the statement closing dates when they update to the bureaus, and that's stuck there for 30 days. So if you do spend a lot of money on your personal credit cards, I'd recommend to pay it before the payment due date if you want your balance to show as low as possible.
Yeah.
That's going to be reported to the credit bureaus. So that's really the two main things is really the utilization, paying them down consistently, and then making sure you don't get a late payment or a collection. You get a late payment, it's going to tank your score. A small collection, like sometimes I see people get like a $70 collection from AT&T or Verizon of a, you know, a contract that they were confused about and just, you know, kind of just put it to the side. Now they have a collection, which just tanked their score like 100 points. So payment history, you got to make sure is super good across the board. That could really set you back. But if you are someone that has negative payment history, like late payments or collections, there are credit repair companies that can help dispute them with the lenders and the credit bureaus to get those removed. So if you are in a bad situation, maybe there's some negative payment history, there is a way to get that disputed and removed. And if you do need any help with that, feel free to shoot me a DM at Jack McCall, and I can guide you in that right direction.
Awesome.
Are you interested in boosting your income by an extra $50,000 this year? If so, you're going to love what I've got in store for you. I am beyond excited to officially announce an incredible opportunity to join me in my exclusive mastermind, which will include myself and 25 other hand-selected investors who are actively pursuing commercial real estate in 2024 and want to be held accountable to making sure they buy their first or their next commercial real estate investment property that will net them a minimum of $50,000 a year. This mastermind group will not only teach you how to do that, how to find, how to analyze, how to structure and buy these types of commercial real estate investment properties, but you'll also have an opportunity to be a part of an intimate group of high achievers that are going to take your network and your resources to a whole nother level. But here's the catch. Like I mentioned before, this is exclusive. We're only selecting 25 ambitious individuals for our founding members group who are serious and ready to take that next step in their commercial real estate investing journey. So if you are ready to increase your passive income by at least $50,000 in the next year with commercial real estate investing, then this is your moment. These spaces are gonna fill up fast. And trust me, this is the one and only time to be a founding member, which comes with some pretty special benefits. So head over to myfirst50k.com and submit your application now. Again, that's myfirst50k.com. You can head over there, check out the program, see everything that it entails, submit your application to join, and I can't wait to connect with you soon.
Now, you said 840 and I got jealous. I'm like in the, you know, 770s right now. And I'm like, I know there's probably a lot of people that are maybe in the 700s and they feel great about it, but man, getting over 800 would be nice. What are some of your thoughts or advice for people that fall in that bucket that want to move towards getting to that 800 credit score?
Yeah, it's a great question. And a few things that did it for me, like specifically what brought me from an 800 to an 826 is by getting an installment loan. And mm-hmm. so, because before that, my credit mix, which is 10% of your score, was not diverse. It was just revolving accounts. So when you can have some revolving accounts, an auto loan, maybe a student loan, when there's a diversity in your credit accounts, that will optimize your credit mix. So for me, there's something called a pledge loan. And so you can do this at a few different banks, but SoFi and Navy Federal, you can do this at, which is basically I put in $10,000 into a savings account. Okay. And then I took a loan against that 10K, and then I paid off 95% of it. So it showed up as a 95% off installment loan on my personal credit. Following that?
Yeah.
So yeah, I put the money in the account, took a loan against it, an installment loan, and then paid off 95%. And so now I have an installment loan, diversified my credit mix, and it's 95% paid off, which looks really good and keeps my debt to income ratio low. Yeah. So that's one thing, making sure your credit mix is diversified. And then two, making sure that you're not closing any personal credit accounts. Like there's no reason to close any personal credit accounts. The only reason why people think they might want to is if there's an annual fee on the card that they don't want to pay. And if that is the case, just ask them to downgrade you to the free version of that card. And most banks will do this for you, but you don't want to close because having more accounts and having more age is going to push your score higher and higher. And then, you know, moving forward, you want to apply for, you know, a couple personal credit cards every year because you need to have at least 20 accounts open to have an 850 score. And so if you're only at four right now, okay, over the next couple of years, get a few credit card accounts and just keep stacking those up and don't close them.
Well, dude, I know there are so many other topics and rabbit holes in the world of credit that we could run down. But for the sake of time and also knowing that so many people are going to want to probably have so many follow-up questions for you, I know you've got all kinds of great content everywhere on socials and the internet. For those that want to follow you, they want to know more about credit stacking or your community, what's the best place for them to do that?
Yeah, I appreciate it, Matthew, so very much. My Instagram is Jack McCall. That's M-C-C-O-L-L. And our website's creditstacking.com. If you want to learn more about our coaching program, would highly encourage it. Hop on with someone on my team. Regardless, you're going to learn a ton of information on this call. If you want to join, great. We have a group of 3,000 awesome entrepreneurs that can support you in your journey in business and getting good credit and things like that. But yeah, Instagram, Jack McCall. Website's creditstacking.com.
Cool. We'll be sure to link up all of that, millionairemindcast.com, on Jack's episode. So guys, be sure to check out the website, the community, all the stuff that Jack's got going on. Brother, as we wrap up today, what is your big vision and the future for credit stacking and your business going forward?
My big vision is very simple. I'm committed on business funding for the next couple decades. When you study billionaires, you can see they do the same thing for several decades. And I'm going to do that same thing in funding. I'm very good at it. I love helping people. It's making a massive impact. So it's just growing the community as big as I can make it. I'm on the front lines of so many amazing funding strategies. And when I coach 3,000 people, I have so much data on exactly what works. So it's just continue refining these strategies and helping entrepreneurs get access to financial resources that I never had when I started. So that's the vision. Keep growing and growing and making sure that my community has the best possible funding strategies.
Jack McCall, thanks for coming on the show, brother. Appreciate you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Well, that wraps up this week's episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that interview. And if you did, all I ask is that you take 2 minutes and leave a review in iTunes, where by doing so, you're also going to get entered in to win a $100 gift card. Don't forget to share this episode out with somebody else that may need to hear it or may get some value from what was talked about in today's interview. And for those of you who are really looking to accelerate your wealth building journey, you want to unlock more financial freedom, you want to get more time back, or maybe you just want to level up your life, your business, your finances,
Be sure to head over to MillionaireMindcast.com and check out all the amazing products and resources that we have for our Millionaire Mindcast family, whether that's one-on-one coaching with me, mastermind events, downloads and checklists, the Rich Life Planner for those of you looking to take your goal setting and productivity to the next level. We've got all kinds of great, valuable tools. So be sure to check those out at MillionaireMindcast.com. And last but not least, if you're not on my weekly text letter and you want to be the first to know of exclusive updates and offers, in addition to behind the scenes access to a lot of the stuff that I'm doing, that I'm investing in, be sure to join by texting the word notes to 844-447-1555. With that being said, thanks for listening today. Until next time, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Cheers, my friends.